And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Big, big news here on the Wild Side News. As we celebrate our third Earth Day with you, we're launching the new global expansion of the Wild Side News. We hear a lot these days about globalization, global warming, global climate change, the global war on terror. Now we have the first global nature show, and you're in the front row. So get ready to take our first round-the-world adventure when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
This weekend, all across America, people will be gathering in parks, nature centers, schools, and gardens to celebrate the 37th Earth Day. What began 36 years ago in Massachusetts has played a huge part in defining what the term environment is all about. It's expressed its vision in so many ways. It started out as a movement and quickly grew into a political force. It has consistently led the way in defining new directions of our society and led to the greening of our culture. It has affected every aspect of our lives, from the food we eat and how we grow it, to the cars we drive, and the source of power that keeps our country growing. But now, in 2006, everything is going global, and Earth Day is there, having as their focus this year global warming. When it comes to the environment, there just may be no more significant concern than globalization. As this show airs, the President of China is visiting with the President of the United States. And top on their list of topics are energy and resources. And that is why we are excited to announce that the Wild Side News is going global, to bring the voice of the Earth where it is needed, around the world, and bring the voices from around the earth to anyone and everyone who listens. Today, as we celebrate Earth Day, we will begin our global expansion by heading out to Hawaii to learn what's happening for Earth Day on the island of Maui. And we'll finish our Earth Day show as we find out what a school in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, is planning. And from India, how a village is getting together to talk about their environment. In the months ahead, we will be regularly traveling the globe with reports from the field to bring you a truly global perspective on the issues that now affect us all. We are proud to be the first of its kind international nature radio program. In our second segment, we'll learn about American River's newest annual report on the 10 most endangered rivers in America. It has special relevance now as the fallout from Katrina begins to be determined. You'll hear a lot about the Corps of Engineers, what they do, and what they need to do in light of our new understandings. So there's a lot to look forward to, and it's all coming up following the news. So first, the news. As Chinese deserts expand, the specter and frequency of massive yellow dust storms increases. According to the United Nations Environment Program, the problem is occurring 5 times more frequently than in the 1950s. Originating in China, which saw about 300,000 tons of sand dumped in the capital city of Beijing, the storm has now progressed to the Korean Peninsula. In South Korea, the yellow dust storm was the worst in 4 years, causing a number of deaths and creating respiratory difficulties for hundreds of thousands. Reports suggest the conditions were worse in North Korea. The dust storms are now considered toxic clouds as they pick up chemicals such as dioxin and other carcinogens as they pass over China's burgeoning industrial areas. Ugandans living along Lake Victoria are finding themselves facing starvation as the water in the legendary lake is the lowest it has been in 80 years. As a result, those who have relied on fishing to feed their families are bringing home empty nets. The problem is caused in part by the drought that has gripped much of East Africa for months. But the problem has been exacerbated by a government that is draining down the lake at a faster rate to meet Uganda's increasing electrical power needs and to generate the electricity to help pay off the burdens of old foreign debt. Responding to criticism, the government has lessened the outflow to the power plants, but this has resulted in higher power costs and regular cutoffs of power, which is affecting Uganda's business community. Adding to the problem is the fact that a diminished Lake Victoria could result in even less rainfall for the already parched region. In Romania, the Danube River continued its rise in response to the heavy rains and melting snows, reaching the highest levels in 100 years. Tens of thousands of Romanians faced evacuation, as broken dams along the Danube could result in extensive flooding in the low-lying regions. Torrential rains threatened to breach the efforts, which would force immediate evacuation. Residents of western Greece and the Ionian Islands are staying away from beaches and cliffs as precautions against falling rocks, as a series of magnitude 5.7 and 5.9 quakes have rattled the nerves of residents for the last 72 hours. The area is a popular tourist region and is also the most active earthquake zone in Europe. Scientists are not sure whether these recent quakes are the culmination of an episode or the precursor for even more severe quakes. The Bush administration has ordered national parks to function with 20% less of their operating budget to accommodate rises in wages, utilities, and other upscaling operational costs. As a result, many parks are being forced to cut back on services including potable water in various campgrounds, cuts in visitor center hours, and diminished ranger interpretive programs. The parks, which for years have attempted to do more with less, feel the crunch particularly stressful, and park morale is low. Many functions at parks are now being conducted by volunteers. The grand legacy of America's natural wonders that inspired so much of the American identity is being tossed into the dustbins of history, along with so much else that once was held sacred in our natural treasury. Maybe it's time we just quit believing in such things, sell the parks to the developers, oil companies, and mining interests, and have a mass exodus to massive cities, and be done with all this stuff about America's wonderlands once and for all. And that's the news. A few reminders. As we launch the world's first international nature radio show, I want to thank in particular a regular listener and fan, Darwin Slindy of PC by the Sea, who has made our global outreach possible. Thanks, Darwin. Today we are celebrating the upcoming 37th Earth Day, which began on April 22, 1970. Through the Earth Day Network, hundreds of events will be carried out to educate ourselves about possibilities and celebrate our hope for a healthy world. Earth Day, like everything else, is going global, and there are now literally hundreds of events that will be occurring around the world this Earth Day. We'll be visiting only three, all of which are in places both familiar and foreign to many of us. We begin our celebration by heading offshore to hear what's planned in one of America's most amazing states. We'll continue our first international Wildside News show. We're now heading out to about as far west as we can go, to our 50th state, Hawaii, and joining us now on the show is Tina Barnes. Tina, welcome to the Wildside News.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. First of all, take a look around and what's happening in Hawaii. What's the day like?
Oh, actually, it's kind of overcast here today. It's been a little bit windy and a little bit of rain upcountry, but we are down in the central part of Maui, and it's overcast, but no rain today.
Earth Day is happening this weekend, and your organization has quite a bit of things scheduled for Earth Day. First of all, who are you working with?
Well, our organization is Maui Nui Botanical Gardens, and we're the host, working with the County of Maui and many of the conservation and cultural groups on Maui. So we'll have about 25 different groups here with educational booths, and then we'll also have some Hawaiian entertainers local as well as a Grammy Award-winning artist. And then we'll have hula, Hawaiian food. We'll be having lei making, papa making, cordage making. You can come and try playing Hawaiian games and a number of other Hawaiian crafts and things.
Well, you know, it's interesting as you talk. This does not sound very mainland. For example, what are Hawaiian games? Give us a sense of what one would expect doing Hawaiian games.
Well, Hawaiians use their plants for everything from making food and clothing and housing, and then they use things for games. So ulu, which is breadfruit, ulu mica, is lawn bowling. They used to use breadfruit. Of course, now they use rocks that they kind of carve and smooth out. Ihe is spear throwing, which is made with bamboo. And then konane is Hawaiian checkers. And so those are a few of the games. And kapa is also known as tapa, the bark cloth that they used to make bedding and clothing out of. Mm-hmm. So you can learn how to do that. Of course, lei making, pretty much everybody knows how to do that or has seen a lei. And what was our other thing? Oh, cordage, which is making rope from the fibers of plants.
Well, tell us about the gardens, the Maui Nui Botanical Gardens.
We're one of the few gardens in the state that is focused on Hawaiian plants as well as Polynesian-introduced plants, the plants that the first Hawaiians brought here. And we're in the central area, so we have coastal and low forest area-type plants. And those are generally salt and sand-type plants that can handle the salt air and sandy soil. And we do have a number of rare and endangered plants, all different types, from, you know, sea level up to maybe 1,500 feet.
How big a facility is it?
We're on about 5 acres, and we have a traditional hale that was built here in 2003. And we have a self-guided tour, so people can wander around the garden, sit in some of the nice shady areas, and kind of get an idea of what old Hawaii used to look like.
Now, are you located pretty close to the water?
Yep, we do get some salt spray here. Not close enough to go jump in the ocean at lunchtime, but close enough.
Now, how about yourself? How is it that you're at the gardens and representing this Earth Day?
Well, I used to be a teacher. I got interested in plants, and I started working here. And because we're focused on conservation, it's a great tie-in for Earth Day.
One of the major themes of this Earth Day is global warming. You are an island nation. What's the talk about particularly the effect of ocean rise? Because that certainly is a topic in many different areas, including areas of the United States right now, mainland areas.
Well, I hadn't really thought about that. We would have to head to higher ground, and I don't think we'd be able to grab up all the plants in the ground. But we are concerned with trying to preserve the Hawaiian plants because they are so tied to the culture. So that's our focus here.
Are you finding that, for example, invasives or other plant species are beginning to kind of threaten the native species?
Oh, yes. Yes, that is a big issue here in Maui. And we do, one of the groups we work with is Maui Invasive Species Committee. And we work with a lot of groups because it's a very big issue here. It affects our watersheds as well as our plants, our wildlife, and the invasive plants are not only in the forest and the plant life, but also the ocean life. So it's a very big concern here, and we're trying to educate as many people as we can.
Give us a sense of some of the challenges that these invasives are creating for you there.
Someone brought in Myconia thinking it was a very pretty plant, which it is. However, it has a very shallow root system and large, very large leaves. And Hawaiian forests tend to work with each other. Plants work with each other. And Myconia, when that gets in an area, it basically overshadows everything. The plants below it die, and that affects the soil, causes erosion, affects the watershed, and so on and so on. So it's a habitat destruction with a lot of the invasive plants.
And also in terms of the oceans themselves, you suggested that some of the plant species are penetrating into the ocean zones.
Not too long ago, someone dumped their aquarium into a lake in Oahu, which cost millions of dollars to clean up, and it was an invasive plant, and it took over the lake. And so not the land plants are going into the ocean, but plants that are introduced or come here like off the bottoms of boats or various types of ways that they get here are affecting the ocean life here.
Well, now, if people want to find out more about Maui Nui Botanical Gardens, what's the best way for them to do so?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.mnbg.org. So those initials stand for Maui Nui Botanical Gardens.
Speak a little Hawaiian. I think it's the most beautiful language in the world. Just go ahead and sign off with some Hawaiian.
Oh, okay. Mahalo nui loa e komo mai to our Earth Day, which means thank you very much and welcome or come to our Earth Day event.
Tina Barnes, aloha.
Aloha.
We'll be initiating the worldwide reach of your Voice of the Earth in Segment 3 as we hear from Malaysia and India as they celebrate Earth Day as well. But first, we bring you the top 10 most endangered rivers in America when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.